Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Ryan Malarum, and you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
Yes, yes. I always like the send off right there. I always like Karch send this off on the show.
And every time I'm like, I'm faked out. I go, Karch Kirai. And I go,
Karch Kirai? Who is
that? That's not what anyone else says.
And Heather's laugh. I love Heather's laugh. Ran into her this weekend. Got to hear it a lot.
Heather Bound?
Heather Bound. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Net Live. It is once again a Monday at 10 a.m. and you are here listening to this program at thevolleyballnetwork.com. We appreciate you being here. I'm your host, Kevin Barnett, along with Dan Madden and intern Alex here on the Redondo Beach home court. We have lost Geeter, I think, forever. I don't think he's ever coming back to the program, or at least until Kobe lets him go. I think he's actually Kobe's personal assistant by this point, don't you?
Would that
get
be a
coffee
step up?
For him in the morning?
Is that a step up or step down?
I don't know.
I think he just wants to be his poker playing buddy.
Yeah, he definitely needs a compulsive gambler to hang out with. So Chris Geeter McGee will be back on the program eventually, but we hope for a quick conclusion to the NBA Finals so he may rejoin us here on the home court. Reed Pretty will be calling in shortly, 10 or 15 minutes, and we'll hope to hear from him about different things with the national team. He's had some unfortunate family issues going on. He was not there this weekend. He went to Russia and back in about 36 hours. Pretty much a bummer for him, but we will get into more of that later. Today we want you to call into the show. 347-677-1525 is the number. Call in. Give us your opinion on something. Have a take on something. There's your favorite thing right there. Have a take. That's Jim Rome for you, Dan Madden. I know how much you like him. But have something to say. Give us a call. Give us a topic. We want to hear from you. It was a huge, huge weekend for volleyball. Absolutely enormous. Men's national team started out first weekend of World League in Russia. AVP Huntington Beach. The USA Adult Nationals concluded down in, I believe it was Phoenix, Arizona. So a lot of things going on in the sport. And, of course, juniors still getting ready to head off to Junior Nationals here in a couple of weeks. JO's Junior Olympics. So a lot of stuff happening. You know, I had an interesting week. Had a party with Chef CJ back on Saturday. CJ, for those of you who don't watch the show Top Chef.
Nope.
On the Bravo Network, Chris Jacobson. 6'9", played with him at Pepperdine and briefly on the national team. Good volleyball player. Not great. Good volleyball player. And he has become, I think, a great chef. Had him a couple times over here to the house to do a party with some friends and do some custom cooking. It was awesome.
You missed my family's happy hour last week because of this guy.
I'm bummed about that.
Can
I wanted to be there
guy?
with the
yeah.
parents.
Yeah, right.
But it was awesome because he brings the food. We just tell him, hey, we don't like green peppers. Pretty much other than that, do whatever you want. He brings all the food. He doesn't even know what he's going to make when he shows up with all the stuff from the farmer's market, throws it together 2 years in a row. It's been awesome. We did a Top Chef challenge this year for him.
Ooh.
He said, you know, get 5 ingredients you wouldn't know what to do with. I'll do something with them. So we did that.
Kale? What'd you get?
We got ribs, just back ribs, because we don't know how to cook them. They're like a pot roast.
Oh, yeah.
Tomatillos, leeks, and I forget what the other thing was. There was some other thing that we got. But then I thought that was the way my wife took the challenge.
Tomatillos?
I thought it was tomatillos.
All right.
Oh, dude, tomatillo salsa?
Yeah,
it's
good.
Unbelievable.
All right.
So I took the challenge another way and said, all right, well, let's try and, you know, mess him up. Let's try and absolutely make it terrible for him, give him a bunch of ingredients that make no sense. So I went to the store. Here's what I gave him. Captain Crunch. Cashews.
Wait, that doesn't count as an ingredient.
Sure is an ingredient.
Okay, whatever.
Captain Crunch, cashews. Cottage cheese, Jell-O instant pudding, and frozen hash browns. Had to put it in one dish. He could add anything he wanted, but he had to incorporate those ingredients into one dish.
Wow.
And you know what? It tasted pretty good. He made like a vanilla lime tart, with a Captain Crunch crust and some dehydrated hash browns and cashew brittle on top. It was unbelievable. Take those horrible ingredients.
Do you have any leftovers?
We ate them all yesterday. Alex actually had like a huge plate of it.
Was it good?
I didn't try that, the ingredient one.
You had the ribs?
I had the ribs. They were good.
Hold on. Yeah, you got ribs. I mean, you're good. You're good right there.
You got skirt steak. What else did you have? We had some of the strawberries and cream with the crepes. Squash.
Kind of mushy.
Yeah, squash was on its way out. Tita still eat it, my mother-in-law. She'll eat anything 2-3 days later, like a salad.
Yeah,
it's all just mushy. Yeah.
And then the dessert was awesome. That was probably my favorite part, obviously.
That was my favorite dish. It was very simple with strawberries and cream crepes. It was awesome tasting. Boy, it was good. I was really excited about that. Hey, we had new content on TVN this week. Hope you were out there visiting. If you haven't, get out there and check it out. We had new videos from Alex. We had Courtney Thompson, an awesome video. I love Courtney Thompson.
Me too.
She is really a cool person. We had Evan Paddock up before, and we have another one coming. Another video coming up.
Another one coming. We have Casey Patterson for this week.
Oh, that's not out
yet. It's pretty good. You'll have to check it out.
Woo! Casey Patterson. He's going to be on there. He had some special things to say just for us. Didn't he send a message to you, I think, Dan? Told you can't dig him.
You know what? Yeah, I can't dig him. But he sent me...
You should have seen the hit he did before he said that.
I can dig him.
You couldn't dig that. You couldn't dig that swing. I've seen
it.
I've seen
this video. He's wearing this rock star cutoff t-shirt that is
It's awesome.
It's bizarre, man. It's like cut down all the way to his waist.
Rockstar's got some great gear, by the way.
His nipples fly out.
Oh, boy.
Like,
is it like the old Gecko gym?
20 times a match.
Little tiny straps across the top?
No, it's not like that. It's not a gym. It's not a bodybuilding.
No, definitely not.
It looks a little silly, but he does it right. But if like, I don't know, Brad Keenan wore that, it would not look right.
I love Casey Patterson. He's a nice dude. He had a great interview here a while back. If you're on iTunes, we are a free podcast. Get on iTunes, check it out. He's back, I don't know, a couple months or so.
Yeah, when he won indoor in Puerto Rico. He won the indoor Puerto Rican league.
That's right, indoor championship there. And now coming out, having another good season on the AVP. And he is just a fun dude to listen to. Really upbeat, and I think one of the great personalities in the sport today. So we'll have that coming up hopefully today, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it'll be up there on the website later today. Hey, another thing I did this week, I went and spent some time in front of the Redondo Beach City Council.
Oh, why?
There's a school my kids go to, a Montessori school up in Palos Verdes here, just south of where I live in Redondo Beach. They're trying to open one here in Redondo Beach. So I went down to the City Council hearing that was to decide whether they could open the school or not. Some neighbors were challenging it, didn't like the presence of a school. And I spoke on behalf of the school. This is right after 18 neighbors in a row, about a block over from me, got up and spoke against the school. And I have no idea why. I wasn't as nervous during the Olympics as I was getting in front of the City Council. Because I really didn't have anything prepared. I had no remarks. I just got up there and kind of tried to hit two or three topics.
Yeah. Did you do announcer voice?
I don't know if I did announcer voice.
Dear people of the Redondo Beach City Council.
Welcome. It was very interesting, a very good insight into city government.
So what happened?
It got approved. Schools got approved.
No way.
They did good.
But it was wild. It was wild because there were four city council members voting. The mayor was there. He only votes in case of a tie. And the first vote went 2 yes, 1 no, 1 abstention, which is not a tie. But in the city council charter for Redondo Beach, you have to have 3 votes one way or the other, yes or no, to actually have it be a successful carried motion.
So that one person, you're like, come on, man, come on.
But it took them 35 minutes to sort out what had just happened with that vote with the abstention and why it didn't work and what they were going to do next.
What exactly does that mean, abstention?
He chose not to vote,
which
is an option. So finally they get back to it. They have a vote on the same motion after trying 6 or 7 other things. They have a vote on the same motion, 2 yes, 2 no, mayor, yes, done. 40 seconds. It was a half hour of discussion about minutiae of city business, and it was done. Crazy. Huh. Absolutely crazy.
Mm. Oh.
So that was part of my week. It was an interesting week. Dan, but I think you started a more interesting week right after this show back on Tuesday.
Man.
A near-death experience for you. I'm glad you're here.
Well, I kind of don't even want to talk about it.
You have to talk about it.
Well,
Give us a story. You leave here on Tuesday after the show.
I leave here. Well, I go to my scooter, and it's got this like business card that says, hey, scooter repair, call whatever.
It must have known.
And I'm like, oh, all
right. That was a sign right
my
there.
My steering's a little loose, whatever. Let's maybe I'll talk to these guys. So I'm riding down. I turn onto the, you know, the Esplanade or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going down 5 minutes after getting on my scooter. And I'm merging into the left lane, passing this guy at 45 miles per hour on my stupid little scooter that is totally dinky. And I realize, like, I can't turn. I'm trying to make a left, and I can't turn. Like, my steering won't budge at all. Not
uh-oh.
A lick.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, holy crap. I'm, like, going 45 miles per hour trying to merge, and I can't merge, and I can't get into this lane. So I start slowing down, and I'm like, what is going on? And finally, I have to, like, just jam the brakes because I'm, like, I'm turning left into oncoming traffic, and
yeah,
I can't
yeah.
turn. So I'm actually just going into the left lane where traffic is.
Oh, my God.
And I'm freaking out. And finally, I slow down enough where I can yank the steering, the handlebars to the left, but only enough to, like, hop onto the sidewalk. So I'm sitting there chilling on the sidewalk, like, what just happened? I have no idea.
How's your heart rate at that point?
300 beats per minute.
Oh, my God.
Because there's cars, and they're, you know, they were pretty close to hitting me.
Yeah, cars.
And then there was
cars
a guy behind me.
At 40 miles an hour, neither of which you want.
Oh, yeah. And so there's a guy on the sidewalk doing repairs, and he's looking like, what the heck is going on? This dude just drove up on the sidewalk on his scooter. He's like, hey, man, you got a flat, huh? I'm like, really? So I turn off the scooter, and I'm just like, I'm pretty close to home, so I'm like, I'm calmed down. At least I'm not like 5 miles away or something. I'm, you know, a quarter mile away.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, flat tire. I didn't hear anything.
It just went out, huh?
Yeah, it was just a leak.
Did you find
or something.
A nail in it? Nothing? Screw?
No. No.
Nothing.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. So I'm just freaked out. So I'm just like,
are the scooter days over?
Yeah. I was just like, 5 minutes ago, I found a repair card on my bike. Now, did that guy, like, put a slow leak in my tire?
The universe tried to warn you.
Yeah, and I've been watching Lost recently, so I don't know what's going on.
Did a smoke monster come out?
I'm not there yet. Stop. If anyone posts on the chat board about Lost,
you're in trouble.
I'm revoking your license to listen to the show.
Do you have that kind of power?
I don't know.
Well, are you an administrator on this?
I could do worse. Okay? And
yeah,
maybe I will.
I'm glad you're here. After
so
that.
I immediately posted on Facebook because that's where I go when I want to get the word out about something.
Right.
You know,
okay.
Moby is done. Moby the motor scooter.
Okay, so Moby the motor scooter gone. You need a different kind of 250.
I need a car, man.
You need a dirt bike, baby.
No.
Dirt bike. I need a friend to go. You've got time midweek. Let's go, man.
I see guys riding dirt bikes around, and they look so silly.
You don't ride a dirt bike on the street. I agree with that. You can't be doing that kind of stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Dan, here. This is a question for you.
Yo.
Right there. That's for you. Just check that out. Alex, what about your week? What's going on here? You've been working like a dog. We made you attend the AVP 2 days in a row. 3 days in a row.
By choice. Three was by choice.
Yeah, you looked pretty fatigued by the end of it. You were promoing the show. You were promoing the show down there and excited. Was it good? Was it a good show for you?
It was good. I went down Thursday to check out the qualifying games. There were some good matches. It was more exciting on Friday and Saturday because there were some people I'd actually heard of and, you know, have watched before on TV. But it was fun. I had a good time. But by Saturday night, I was ready to go home. I didn't come back Sunday.
Okay.
Kind of wish I would have, though, because it was a good game.
All right. Well, we'll get to more of that in a second. We do have someone else who is at the AVP tournament, Matt Prosser. Dan, you want to give him a proper introduction?
Matt Prosser is a 6'7 beast of a man from Long Beach State. He plays on the AVP with, I don't even know what's going on with him anymore.
With a former Lost body double, but
now
his ex-partner.
But he's a Manhattan or Hermosa resident right now, and he's on the line. Matt Prosser.
Welcome. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
So, Matt, you had you had one of your best finishes of your life, maybe tied with your best finish, a fifth place with Alzamet this weekend. How'd that feel?
It was a great weekend. You know, anytime you can finish in the top 10 is a good thing. A fifth is even better, and being one game away from making a semifinal is nice. As far as, you know, a first tournament with a new partner to get a fifth is great. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
So you go from playing two tournaments with Ty Loomis, and you don't. You guys both agree you didn't like the chemistry and you wanted to move on. So you move on to AL's and Met, and you take your best finish, a fifth place.
Actually, Dan, I'm sorry to interrupt, but my best finish is a third from Chicago last season. So.
Oh, Chicago. Okay, okay.
Do your research a little bit, Dan.
You know what? I'm sorry, Pross. I've been wrong on this show before, and I always apologize.
Oh. You're wrong again. It's okay.
Congratulations on your third. But also, I want to know what it's like, because you're not playing with Ayal anymore. You're playing with John Mayer. What's it like getting a fifth with Ayal? Then 10 hours later, you're playing with John Mayer.
Yeah, it's really weird. I'm not going to lie. It's really strange. I've never had to do it before. After taking a fifth with somebody and then telling them that I'm going to play with somebody else in the next event in 2 weeks, it was difficult, you know. Unfortunately, it's part of what we do, playing on the beach, and partnership changes are a regular thing. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Matt, take us through your decision-making process there between the two when the opportunity with Mayer comes up.
It's just a lot of weighing your options and comparing the two players and who you think you fit better with and who you play better with and maybe who you might have a longer run with. It's a shorter season this year, so there's only about 8 more events, I think. And, it's just coming down to a lot of weighing out the options and talking with family and friends and just getting people's opinions and just weighing out the options, really.
So
it just
felt right to go with Mayer at this point.
John's a winner. I mean, he's won. We've played together before in the past. And we had some success when we were younger. He's been, a top-tier guy now for a couple of seasons. It's an opportunity that I couldn't pass up on to play with him now. So.
Great. So, well, now that you have eight tournaments left, what are your goals with Mayer for the remainder of the season?
Playing on Sundays, making finals, hopefully. I mean, and just winning more matches, getting better, getting better as a blocker and just making deep runs into tournaments and trying to get some wins against those top teams that are always playing on Sundays, the 1 and 2 seeds that are always in the finals. Got to make some upsets.
Yeah, so there's been another partner shuffle, and it seems like Matt Olson is going to go with Jeff Nygaard. And so Matt Olson was available too. Was Matt Olson an option in this?
He was an option. We actually never spoke over the weekend. I never talked to Matt about playing for Virginia Beach. Matt and I had spoken in the off season a little bit about taking a look at how we would be together as a team, but we were unsure on who would play what side. And, the convenience of Mike Morrison living in San Diego with Matt was a huge factor for him, because I live in Redondo Beach, and that's a pretty long commute. So, but this weekend, I never spoke with Matt, and there was still going to be an issue about who was going to play what side, and now Matt and Jeff have to figure that out also. I would think that Matt is going to play the right side.
Yeah, and, probably.
Probably be pretty good at it. He played a little right side of the King of the Beach last year in Vegas and had some success. He sat it out pretty well against some good blockers. So.
You're listening to Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We're talking to Matt Prosser, AVP professional. Matt, we appreciate you calling into the show. We know it's tight on time. Want to get you out of here on this. Tell us a little bit about your job away from the AVP. A lot of people hear about your success on the tour, but what do you do otherwise?
Otherwise, I'm an assistant coach at Redondo Union High School for the boys volleyball team. I just finished my second season there. Prior to that, I was coaching for 4 years at Long Beach State with their men's program. I was their assistant coach for a couple of years. That's about it right now. So, this year we made it to the second round of playoffs in the CIS, Southern Section playoffs, lost to Edison from Huntington Beach. First time that our team had made the second round of playoffs since 2006, I believe.
Totally due to you.
Well, no, it was the whole coaching staff and obviously the players too. You know, the kids, we're a young team, we're scrappy, we're pretty small, but a bunch of gamers that, you know, fight, and that's all you can really hope for is a team that wants to win. And they got a little taste of success this season, so hopefully it'll carry over in the next season too.
Nice.
Just like you. Hey, Matt, so you've been doing CrossFit in the off season. Real quick, how have the CrossFit workouts helped you out as a player?
As a player, it's been an absolute upgrade for me. My cardiovascular levels have improved. My strength levels have improved. Forrest over at CrossFit South Bay in Hermosa on 5th Street is top of the line. He do some CrossFit workouts down at the beach and in his facility. Also, some people I worked with down in Huntington Beach that got me started in it. It's been huge for me, and I'm a huge believer in it for anybody, non-professional athletes and also, you know, professional elite athletes as well.
Matt Prosser is an AVP professional who took a fifth place this past weekend and now is switching partners. He and John Mayer will be playing in 2 weeks' time at Virginia Beach. Matt, thanks for calling on the show. We wish you the best of luck in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the good work. Right.
Thank you. See you later.
Take care.
All right, good stuff from Matt Prosser.
Prosser, I do workouts with Pross.
He's a big dude, man.
He's so big, man. He's just
6'7". What does he go, 220?
I don't know, but he just seems just this thick, just freaking crazy dude. He's just a giant.
Yeah, he's a...
But I do workouts with him, and I just try and just beat the crap out of him. Those beach workouts, we're just tossing medicine balls and just jumping, doing box jumps and then pulling weights and stuff. It's pretty fun.
Nice. Nice.
Alex has been doing CrossFit, too.
I do. Yeah. I actually really like CrossFit. I keep going.
You really
on
like it now after you recovered from your first trip there when you walked around like you had a couple of peg legs there for a few days.
The wall balls. I've been doing that every time. They're like, oh, you came on the wall ball day. Gosh, you're really lucky. Those are the worst. But also, I'm going today.
What I want to know is when we get them as a sponsor on here. When are you going to hook that up? Tell them to advertise here on the Net Live.
I'll let you know. Well, they're sponsoring.
Hey, I'm the marketing coordinator now.
That's right.
I've got two jobs this summer.
Okay. So, Alex, you need to get them signed up today. You need to talk to them, hand them a card, get them to download the podcast.
They're
live.
Sponsoring our six-man team.
I like it. The six-man team that I unfortunately will not be on.
And that Prosser's not on.
Bummer.
Prosser is like their
players left and right.
Prosser's their main athlete, and he's not on their six-man team. We got to do something about that, right?
Ooh, not good. Yeah, you got to bring in some more pros.
Nah, we don't need pros.
Hey, before we get to our first break here, I wanted to make sure we mentioned a sad note. Dan Aranda, guy from volleyball.com, the owner of volleyball.com, one of our earliest supporters here on our efforts on the Net Live. Unfortunately, he was out at the men's national championship here at Stanford and suffered a collapse, and it was discovered that he has an aggressive brain tumor. And we're not really sure if he's still here. Last word was he was in the hospital and trying to get enough energy to return home to Wisconsin. We want to wish Dan and his family the best of luck going forward with this difficult process. But I want to make sure we mentioned him, as Dan was one of the first guys who really helped us get on the air here with our program. And one of the reasons that we can continue going here, getting on iTunes and getting the volleyballnetwork.com up. So, Dan, best of luck. We hope that you get a chance to listen into the show. So not to have an easy transition, there's nowhere to go from there, but we'll go to one more thing with John Wooden. Big, big loss for the sports world, John Wooden dying this past week. Dan, one of my favorite quotes from John Wooden was said to me by my coach, Marv Dunphy, at the Olympic Games. Said, be at your best when your best is required. And that was one of the best compliments. He told me that I was doing that at the 2004 Games. I really love that. And if you have any thoughts on John Wooden, got about 20 seconds.
My brother wants to make a John Wooden shirt in the vein of Che Guevara's shirt.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, all right, do it. Yeah, it would probably sell really well. That's all. That's my thought.
Or the Barack Obama.
Yeah, the hope. Yeah. Bill Walton really likes John Wooden. Did you know that?
And they clashed. I knew that. They clashed for a long time, but they ended up being good friends, and I know that they talked at least weekly. There's a lot of stuff.
If you ever hear Bill Walton speak for more than a second, he mentions John Wooden.
Of course.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. It's like me and Pepperdine, Marv Dunphy.
Yeah.
You got to mention who you learned from.
I am so thrilled I didn't get cut off, by the way.
Good job. Way to squeeze it in. You're no Reed Pretty.
I heard that.
We'll hope to hear from him soon.
Cut
now. All right. The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We'll be right back.
Hey parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dan?
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench. Sub yourself in. Pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Still much more to come. We're going to touch a lot on the AVP, and we're going to talk immediately now about the men's indoor team getting started just this past weekend. They were in Russia, in Ekaterinburg, playing against Russia in round one of the World League tournament that just began, featuring 12 of the best teams from all around the world. And we have with us one of our old broadcast partners. We used to know him. We used to have him on the show all the time. Reed Pretty.
What's happening, guys?
Hey, welcome in. Glad that you're able to be here on our show. Before we get to World League, let's talk a little bit about why you weren't at the tournament.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be on the line and not on some crazy Wi-Fi signal somewhere in Siberia. But, we left Monday, and my wife is pregnant. And we got to Ekaterinburg on Wednesday, and I think about, 20 hours after we landed, I got a text saying that my wife had gone into preterm labor. And thankfully, I was on a plane in less than 3 hours, which Ekaterinburg is really not an easy place to fly in and out of. And it's a small place. So we were really thankful. Somebody was definitely looking out for us and trying to get me home soon, and I was able to get back on a plane. And, about 50 hours and 4 days of flying. But got back, and my wife is still in the hospital, and we're just hanging on, trying to keep that little guy inside and just taking it one day at a time. So that's unfortunately had to leave the guys.
So since you got home, have things gone in a positive direction for Lindsay and the baby?
I think so. The baby's doing as well as he can, and we're just trying to give him every fighting chance possible. Lindsay's developed some sort of pneumonia in one of her lungs, which I guess is typical when you're on bed rest. So
yeah.
I'm doing all I can. I'm just buying new tech toys for her. We got an iPad.
Nice.
Special thanks to Lindsay Breeden. But just trying to keep her entertained, relaxed, and so that's just kind of my main duties right now, is just try to keep her occupied and relaxed.
That's good. I know if I bought my wife an iPad at this point, that would make her happy. That would brighten her day.
Yeah, it's funny. As soon as I took it out of the wrapping and I started, plugging in all of my information, she's like, I'm not getting that, am I? I'm like, yeah, probably not. We'll get you one, though.
Come on. Come on. You got to help Doug for something to do. Well, Reed, we wish you the best of luck, and Lindsay, and we hope everything continues to go in a positive direction. We've got a lot of that going on, unfortunately, in the world of volleyball at the moment. But let's get to the guys you left. You left them in Ekaterinburg in Russia to face off with Russia, and things did not go well. 0-3, 1-3 over the two matches there, and really the 0-3 was a complete crushdown. What are your thoughts, just having looked at the scores, and have you talked to anybody?
I've got a few emails from some guys, and unfortunately, I tried to access the live stream, but it was blocked to only Russia, the Russian territory, so that was a bummer. But so it's hard to comment on how the flow of the match went, but it sounds like it was a lot of unforced errors, and you can't do that to a team like Russia.
Yeah.
My response was frustration, obviously. I think everybody wanted to start off on a good note, and I think this kind of puts us maybe right where we need to be, which is one day at a time. You know, all the cliches that we continue to hear about on the net live with the best in the game, that you know, we need to get to that. Are we taking ground every day, every rep? Are we putting that sort of responsibility on ourselves and accountability?
Is this a situation where perhaps a lot of young players were playing well in the gym and very happy with what they were doing, but didn't really realize how the level gets kicked up in a match, and especially in a tournament like World League?
You know, that could be. That's a good point. You know, I don't want to put that on them, because I know that you really can't go through that growth by somebody telling you. And so I think it's inevitable that if we're going to rely on some of these younger, newer players to be a real central focus on this team, there's going to be these times, these matches where kind of the lights go on. And, you know, as older players, I think you observe younger players and you're like, man, the potential is there, but you can't communicate that experience. And so I think this is great experience, and I think some of these young guys will play a very significant role for us in the years to come. And as hard as these losses are to take, and as much as it hurts your pride and everything that you're working for, without them, you can't go through the growth that you need to.
Yeah, where is Clay in all this? I think that's a good point about young guys. You'd like to have an old guy in the gym who's reliable, who can kind of steady out a match, and Clay has been that guy. What's his status? Clay Stanley, MVP from the 2008 Olympics.
I think Clay is on PCH right now, driving his new Skyline. I don't know what the American name is for that car. I don't know if it's like a GRX, whatever. But yeah, he just got that as a bonus to himself when he won this championship. But I tell you, Clay's taken some time to himself in these first couple matches, and you know, some might look at that as selfish. But I tell you, it is the hardest thing to do in this career, is to balance what you really want to do and what you need to do for your body and to keep things going. And obviously it would have been really great for the U.S. team to have Clay in these matches, especially against a team that he knows. I mean, you know, from playing against in Italy maybe, or whatever country you play in, the veil is kind of taken back. And you're not playing against a uniform. And they're not getting free points like maybe a UCLA did back in the day, or a Russia does today when you're not familiar with them. And Clay is so familiar with them that there's no intimidation factor, and obviously the skills that he brings. But
I think it may even go the other way with Clay. He may intimidate the Russians a little bit.
Exactly.
They know about his serve. He's beaten them up all year with it. They know that they can't stop him at the net. I think that would be a good evener for the U.S. side.
For sure. But like I said, it's just a really difficult thing to do, to balance. I mean, I was gone for, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks from my wife, and I come home for 6 to 8 or 8 to 10 days, and I'm back on a plane and gone. And I know that Clay's in similar circumstances when you have these late finishes in your pro league. So it's one of those things where it's not ideal, but you just kind of have to balance the schedule yourself, because the FIVB and the governing bodies of each country haven't gotten on the same page to really think through what's best for our athletes.
You know, one of the things I thought was interesting is that the setting position continues to be undecided. Donald Sujo started out match number one. Kevin Hansen came in, and it looked like Kevin Hansen played match number two, from what I remember looking at. But definitely there hasn't been any stability there, not the kind of stability that Lloyd Ball in recent years brought to that position when he was with the team. Do you think it's good to continue to search with two different setters, or perhaps look at establishing one for a longer period of time?
Another tough question, Barney. You're hitting me with them this morning. I think that you want to know who your starting quarterback is, obviously. But right now, there isn't that difference between the two. They're both playing great, and I think each guy has rhythm with a particular set of players, and maybe that's different for the other guy. And I think it's going to be one of those things where it's just going to take some time. You know, kind of what I observed in the 10 days that I was with the gym, we as hitters tend to put so much pressure on the setters for the perfect set. And we worry so much about, hey, you need to get the ball to me, as opposed to us going to the ball. And I think that pressure can really distract a setter. And so I would love to see us as hitters be able to give those guys the freedom to run an offense and not need to give me the perfect ball. And when you have a guy like Lloyd come in, nobody's telling Lloyd, hey, Lloyd, put the ball here. Because you've got that respect. And I think that we need to grant that respect to the guys in the gym now and just be better at getting our feet to the ball.
It took me a long time to learn that. It seems like a simple concept, but as a hitter, it was always get the set here, get the set there. All I wanted was the ball high, and I'll go get it. But then it became, I started complaining about the sets. When it was a fast set, it wasn't right. I had needed something better. And, yeah, you're right. A veteran hitter realizes, it's my job, once a setter sets the ball, to make the setter look good. That's my job, is to make that set look like it's fine and there's nothing wrong with it. And I stopped complaining about sets, and it turns out I got set more and got set better. Amazing thing. Hey, Reed, I'll let you off the hook on more hard-hitting questions about your own team. I know you still got to play with these guys and be in the gym and be a leader and be that person. But I think it's an interesting start to World League. I look forward to seeing it. I'll be voicing it over a week from today, as a matter of fact, right after the show. But one of the things I think is good about the schedule is that the U.S. starts with Russia, the U.S. ends with Russia. And assuming that your team takes care of Egypt and Finland through all those other matches and beats them all, it could set up a pretty nice showdown to come in Wichita on the final weekend of World League for the berth to the finals. I think it's a good setup for the United States to kind of get into a rhythm.
For sure. I think Egypt taking a match off of Finland, obviously, you got to think about them a little bit more seriously. And like I said, when you start off like this, all of a sudden it becomes about managing today. And that's exactly where you need to be, as opposed to, hey, let's worry about what's going to happen in the finals. There is no finals if you don't take care of today. So I'm hoping that we can do that as a group.
And Finland's a good team, has a couple of good players. The U.S. side is definitely going to have to play well. It's not a pushover. But Russia, notoriously, up and down throughout World League, not afraid to drop a match. So still good stuff for the U.S., good possibilities. Let's switch over to the AVP. Reed, it seems like from your notes that you had a chance to get down and see the AVP there in your native city of Huntington Beach. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I got down and I had very limited exposure to it. I actually watched both finals on TV yesterday. But on Saturday, I went down and watched a part of a winner's bracket crossover. And, it was great. I think that they've made some strides in just the layout and the feel. I know Dan maybe, Dan, you always seem to not like something. But,
hang on, I got to wake Dan up. We were just talking about indoor. I got to push him. Dan,
playing the iPhone game, man.
All right,
come on.
Which I also bought yesterday. I'm doing my part.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Dan, wake up.
Am I getting ripped on here? Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't know. It seems like every few days I always get an email of Dan complaining about something that somebody did.
Well, until he's commissioner of the AVP, it's going to be trouble. Until Mike Dodd vacates the position and Dan has some control over the issue.
Through all the complaining, I still enjoy the AVP. So I still go down there. I didn't make it yesterday. But you want me to complain? The reason I didn't go yesterday is because there were only two matches I could watch.
Mm-hmm.
A semifinal and a final. I guess I could watch the women's side too.
So you wanted more rounds for your showing up?
Yeah. I want to.
For you risking another flat tire to go 40 miles south?
No, I would have driven. No, but this tournament was way more fun, way better vibe than Santa Barbara.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it more in the heart of volleyball?
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason.
Santa Barbara is pretty isolated.
That's the biggest reason, yeah. I mean, this had the Huntington Pier is pretty pumping and jamming every weekend. And you combine that with, you know, a good
sponsor. There's some concert going on.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. There's some, like, flea market deal going up on, I don't know, Beach Boulevard or whatever it's called. I don't know.
Well, I went on Saturday. I went for a couple of hours on Saturday, and I love the atmosphere. I really think the atmosphere is terrific of a beach event.
Yeah.
It's fun to be at the beach, even though it was a little bit cloudy, which was nice because it wasn't so hot. That kind of beach inversion layer was there, a little bit foggy, but it was great atmosphere and fun, and it was pretty packed. The outer courts and the sponsor row were packed. They looked great. I thought it was really just a well-done event, and I had a good time.
Yeah.
I had a really good time.
Did you go in the spaceship?
I did go in to center court. I did sit courtside for a little while. I watched, who did I watch?
Did you sit in the front row of general admission?
Misty May.
No, I sat in the front row of courtside.
Well, if you sat in the front row of general admission, you would know that you couldn't see anything.
You couldn't see anything.
Well, I'm not like that. I'm better than those people.
Okay. Clearly.
Come on now. I'm not going to sit in general admission. Who's that for?
I'm just saying.
Is that where you were?
Yeah, I got. That's where my ticket would. That's the only place my ticket would let me go.
Where'd you get your ticket?
Jason Hodel.
He only gave you general admission. Yeah, you should have been there with me. We got courtside. That was a lot better.
That was just a posturing move because he doesn't want you to see too much. Take over his job.
He just wants me to complain more. I mean, what's the deal?
If Dan was in the sponsor tent, he'd be saying the turkey sandwiches weren't really good.
Yeah.
I
thought the layout of the whole deal was good, and it was a difference. I saw an email from Dan talking about the scaffolding and the spaceship and stuff. And you know, when I was at the event, there were some things that looked strange. They tarped out scaffolding, which was usually like a see-through type thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And so it was, you know, there's so much blue, and that was my first exposure to the new blue. But when I saw it on TV, it all clicked. I mean, it looked great on TV. And, I mean, those subtle changes that are going to take a little bit of getting used to maybe live, it's so important for that event and the energy of that event to translate on TV.
I thought the television broadcast was terrific. It's great to see that it's on ESPN, the mothership ESPN, not the U, the Ocho, not anywhere else. And it's on ABC.
Yep.
That's just terrific to see those. It's incredible and an amazing opportunity for the sport in general, not just the beach side. And in contrast to the indoor side, who won a gold medal, was on ESPN2 last year, got a lot of great exposure on ESPN2 because it's a real channel. We've been on ESPNU before that where it's a little harder to find. You'd have to look for it. But a lot of people just randomly found it and enjoyed the broadcast, got in touch with the sport. And now this year is going to be on Comcast Regional for the first half of the tournament, and the finals will be on Versus. I'm disappointed in that, but great for the beach that they're on ABC and ESPN. And I also thought the sponsors throughout the broadcast were just pervasive. I mean, it was like the Rockstar moment, the Paul Mitchell hot shot, the Twin Labs Stratcam, the Horizon Air throwing the ball around, the Gatorade, Johnsonville, KGC, you know, serve of the match or something like that. They had all kinds of in-broadcast sponsorships, which was great.
That's a good point. I didn't even notice, but I now that you mention it, it's like, oh yeah, that's right. They had a whole bunch of little things. The Twin Lab,
the Stratcam,
strategy cam.
Yeah,
that was really cool. I actually noticed that because like Twin Lab. Oh yeah, they're a new sponsor. Cool.
Yeah, it was a picture in picture. Actually, I stopped by the TV truck with the wife and the guys that were showing me what was going on with that. I was like, oh, that's neat to see. So it was cool to see on Sunday.
Let's call the Strat Cam what it really is. It's the cam that you can look at girls' butts with.
No. I'll tell you what it is.
Come on.
I'll tell you what it is. It's the hole card cam. That's what it is.
The what?
The hole card cam. Because, okay, poker on television was never really great till you knew what everyone at the table had when they had that card cam. And I think they're trying to capture some of that same strategy so you know the interplay between the blocker and the hitter that's going that you wouldn't otherwise see as
for
well.
For sure, but it's a big close-up of female butts.
And my question
was that a problem, Dan?
Idea. That is good strategy.
Having it be a big close-up is better than having it be a close-up of a big butt. But, you know.
My question was the what they were wearing is why are their butt cracks showing? That's something that I just don't get. Can anybody answer that?
That's
okay.
That's
a good question. I don't think that's super attractive either.
Neither. I mean, I see the butt cheeks. Like, you have the little butt cheeks hanging out. But then when you go to the butt crack, it's like, really?
Is this a Christian thing? Christians don't like butt cracks?
Why you like butt cracks?
No, the butt crack thing is just the style. I'm used to it,
it's
quite
cleavage.
Frankly.
They call
like,
it
is,
cleavage
is that attractive from a male's point of view?
For me, no.
It wasn't at first.
And
but
I'm
now
not even
I,
Christian.
Now I don't, I don't care. I see it, you know, you see it 50 times a day if you're in Southern California.
Yeah, and you see some ones that you just don't.
Yeah,
like,
well, yeah,
keep
for
that
sure.
Cleavage to yourself.
But
it's like gigantic sunglasses on girls. At first, you're like, what are you wearing? You got like stop signs on your face.
See, I like that.
And then you kind of like get used to it. You're like, yeah, whatever.
But they're, I'll give them that. Every girl out there, body was pretty amazing. I was like,
the players.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd never seen so many abs like that. Maybe a little manly on some, but some I was like, wow, that's impressive. So they can have their butt cracks out, I guess.
You look like that. You can do whatever you want.
I guess so.
It's your world. It's your world.
The one thing I did notice, and I don't know if this is splitting hairs or what, but there's certain – the level that I saw was awesome. You know, I saw this match on center court. I'm not going to say who I saw, but the level was awesome. But there were times where sick plays were made, and it was like, oh, it's just another day. You know, I didn't feel that they – I know that they care, but they weren't selling me that they cared. And it's like, if you don't care, why should I care?
I think it's a lifestyle thing. And I had
a thought. Is it too cool to care? Is that what it is?
No, I think that the way it's sold and the way the whole thing comes off is it's sort of professional, but sort of a lifestyle. The fans are there. The players are there because it's a profession. And there isn't that sort of those antics. I mean, I watched
there's
the match.
There isn't a mingling with those two things, the performance and the lifestyle whatsoever.
No, and there's no fire in a lot of cases.
That's what I want to see. And that's why I want to see Watt Fogel, Patterson. I want to see those guys for the sake of they draw me in as a fan. I'm just like, they're doing sick things and then letting you know about it. It's not like – you know, certain players out there who are the loudest guys ever, and then they're going to roll shot line and expect me to get into it.
See, I think we need Wachtfogel, Rosenthal, Patterson, and who else could you throw in that group? Because I don't care. Just match them up, put them on center court for about one match a day.
I think, yeah. And one other beef, and I'll let you go, Dan. Sorry about that. But how come when Phil and Todd win 50 stinking tournaments in a row, we don't get to hear from them? I'm sure that was a timing issue, but I mean, like that's a huge, and I really appreciated Geeter's his broadcasting because he was trying to inject emotion into the game, and that's huge as a fan, I think, to listen and to kind of feel the moment, especially when you have players on the court who aren't doing that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you've got a Tiger Woods approach, and then you have a Freddie Couples. I like watching both. So, I mean, sure, there's going to be different athletes. But, I mean, 50 stinking tournaments winning, not in a row, obviously, but that's phenomenal. Let us know about it. I want to hear from them.
I think you hit it with Phil and Ty. We've talked before about their approach to the game. And you watch them play. They're professional. They're unbelievable. They're amazing at what they do. It's not exciting.
No.
Just the way they play. Fine. I have no problem with that.
No.
But then
it's not exciting on TV.
No, even in person.
No.
Dan, hold on.
Next to that court.
Hold on.
It is crazy.
I was there. The volleyball is crazy awesome. Unbelievable. When Phil gets a good set, it's over. No one can stop him. End of story. If Phil is in a rhythm in any part of the game, whether it's blocking, serving, or hitting, forget about it.
He's easily
the best player I've ever seen play the beach game.
If you're standing next to the court, you're not completely captivated by their play?
I am astonished at their play, yes. But I'm saying the other half of the equation, the event equation, is just not there when you have those two plus Gibb out there. Gibb is of the same mold. He's not that fiery, occasionally fiery.
Yeah.
And then you have Rosenthal, who's the one guy who's carrying it a little bit. He's flying around doing this and that. But it's hard for him to carry the whole show when there isn't that, like Hovland and Dodd, where you have Hovland going off at Stoklos, who's Stoklos is a yeller. It's just a question of the personalities, and this is not hating on the guys.
Frohoff and
it's
Dodd
just who the guys are.
Frohoff and Dodd were super quiet, but like they were two of the coolest guys in the game, especially Frohoff.
But those fiery matchups are missing.
Sure.
The ones that are filled with a little bit of animosity.
Yeah, I think the solution would be that here's one solution. We don't want Phil and Todd to be somebody they're not.
No, they don't need to
think. And like you said, what they're doing is absolutely phenomenal. So let us hear from them before the match or after the match. I want to hear, because I know Todd is incredibly motivated. A lot is on the line. No matter what he's showing you on the court, it's very personal, and he's very passionate, or else he wouldn't be doing it. And I think it's really important from a fan's perspective to hear that, so that when you're seeing kind of the rolled shoulders in between plays and stuff like that, there's a more complete picture of who Todd and Phil are.
Yeah, that would be good. I think you need to maximize that part of it, the professorial part, the understanding of the game, the professionalized part, and make that a feature. And
well,
yeah, I'd like to hear that from them, but then you need someone else to balance out the other side. Yeah. I don't want Phil and Todd to change it all.
What's reflecting what? Are Phil and Todd reflecting the AVP, or is Rosie reflecting what the AVP is? I think Phil and Todd are. I think they're a much better representation of the AVP and how they want themselves to be viewed. You know, they wear these.
But we've talked about
mesh
both.
Polos, like the AVP people at the event, and the way the event looks just looks very corporate.
True.
And that's what Phil and Todd are. That's what Rosie isn't. That's what Waffle isn't. It's like they don't know how to get the lifestyle and get the fire going. And it's like you do it from the top, kind of.
We've talked about that, how the sport is sold, and we've said that. And I think there have to be two parts. It's lifestyle and it's professionalism. And the lifestyle component from the player's side, the guy who represents that and who has still some success and has that fieriness, that anger, that fun-to-watch atmosphere is missing a little bit. About the only guy capturing it is Rosenthal.
Yeah, well, no one wants to go to this thing
and watch
a business work. They want to go watch fucking volleyball.
It's not tennis.
Someone on here said Camacho. He was my favorite to watch.
If Camacho could play better, yeah. But the level of play has gotten so that you have to be so focused on the professional aspect to be successful that I think you lose some of the personality.
Yeah. Maybe it's just really difficult to translate on TV, because I know that Sean and John are super passionate and get into it, and even their yelling and screaming on TV is not translating what it would live. So maybe really the question is how do we translate what's happening right there on the sidelines too, on TV, and capturing that hey, this is big, this is a big deal, and there's stuff on the line, and we care, even though we also are going to go drink a six-pack afterwards and do our lifestyle thing.
Well, the AVP is definitely tasked with that challenge, and they're working on it. They're working hard. A lot of sponsors there, 21 local sponsors signed up, great sponsor row, good reception from the community. I think overall a good step forward for the AVP. So I'm excited to see the next event in Virginia Beach and see if the East Coast can get it done like the West Coast. Be good stuff. We mentioned a little bit the slumped shoulders of Todd, and I want to go back to the iPhone game. Now, the AVP just put out an iPhone game. I ponied up my $4 to support their effort.
$4.
$4, $3.99, as a matter of fact. They're on iTunes. It's available. Not like our show. Our show is for free. You can download our show anytime on iTunes. Search The Net Live or search thevolleyballnetwork.com and get your free podcast. But this was $4 for the AVP iPhone game. I played it a little bit, and then it stopped loading on my phone, unfortunately.
Really?
It started blowing up. No kidding. 5 times. Dinner last night. Alex, how many times?
At least 5.
At least 5 blowups.
That
couldn't even get it.
Your phone, no?
Could be. Could be my phone.
I didn't have any problems with loading it.
I couldn't figure out how to play it when you finally let me use
it. It is challenging to play, in my opinion.
I got a little bit of the hang of it, but...
You had cascading volleyballs all over your screen for success?
Man. Wait, so did you get it at all?
I played it the first night, yes, for a while. For quite a while.
Hold on, I spent
about 25 minutes with it.
What exactly is the point of it? Like, how do you hit the ball?
You have to hit a button on the side to hit the ball. And it features Phil and Todd, right?
Yeah.
And it features Carrie. And who's Carrie's partner? Because I tried to load the women's side and it wouldn't go.
Well, it's got Phil and Todd playing on the wrong sides. Todd's playing left and Phil's playing right.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Which is weird. Maybe it's just all transition. There's a 10-foot line, which I love.
Phil looks just as intimidating in blocky graphics, by the way, as he does in person.
Yeah. Well,
You like the graphics when you actually score a point? At 7-0, I actually, or 6-0, I actually sided out once. And I like the little volleyball cascading across.
It went crazy. It was celebration time.
When you score a point, there are 10,000 volleyballs that just fly on and off the screen. And you're like, what is this clip art doing on my iPhone. It's just Billy Allen put it perfectly. It has nothing to do with volleyball. It's just pushing buttons at the right time. Anything could be happening on the screen.
Okay, just tried to load it up, blew up.
All right, well, no, mine worked. I played it for about 5 minutes. I scored a bunch of points.
You were awesome at it?
Yeah,
of the beach game? Yeah, Dan, dominating.
Yeah, come on. If this were indoor, no way. I just think it's too... It's not fun.
You know what they should do is if you buy the game, you should get, and you can prove it, you should be able to get into the AVP event, you know, general admission one time.
Yeah, you have to be able to load it and get it started, though. I think that's unfortunate.
I don't think I've ever thought that paying $4 for anything would be a ripoff. It's pretty close.
Oh, man. We're hurting.
You got ripped off.
$4 for this? I mean, I have 99-cent games that are awesome, and this is not...
I have 99-cent games that will load. I have free games that will load. I just try to get it. It's trying again one more time to load up.
Look, it's a start, you know? It's a start. We're heading in the right direction. Maybe by next year, Dan will be like in Marina Del Rey with all the at EA Sports with all the sensors on, teaching everybody how to shuffle step.
See, now we can get back to that. What's the best volleyball game ever?
Oh,
is the question.
The stand-up golf?
Beach volleyball?
Super Spike Ball. Super Spike V-Ball.
The stand-up one? The full arcade version?
I never played that.
Or are you talking about the Genesis version?
I'm talking about Nintendo.
There's a
2-on-2 like
beach. Okay, there's a 2-on-2 beach game.
Yeah, with the two beefy Steve Timmons dudes.
Yeah, that was to 10, rally score. I had it in my basement for a while. Reed, did you ever play it over at my house?
No.
Oh, it was incredible. We had tournaments over there. I killed Sullivan one time, 10-0. Maybe it was 10-1. I don't know. I think I skunked him in rally score. It's pretty awesome.
They'll call in and correct you.
Exactly. But it was a fun game. I enjoyed that. And then Sega Genesis had a Super Spike Volleyball. That was awesome. That had Sugar would come into serve instead of Sato. It was basically the 84 team. And it was an indoor game. You could run combos and stuff. You'd have one digger in the back row, and occasionally he'd get hit in the head, and he'd lay on his back like a dead bug through the rest of the point. He couldn't get up. He couldn't dig any balls anymore. You had to block everything. I found that game enjoyable. But there's never been a game that really translated all that well. There was extreme volleyball with chicks with large implants.
Yeah.
That was on Xbox. It got a lot of bad attention about 4 years ago.
Did it look like
ago.
The girl with the USA swimsuit on this weekend?
The USA bikini inside the... yeah, it looked a lot like that woman, Alex. Well,
we got
a photo of her for the website.
We got a post on message board from Volley Ridge Live that says you can play Super Spike V-Ball on Nintendo8.com.
Nice! Get it up. Check it out right now, Dan. Get that, because I can't load this other one. So overall, thumbs up, thumbs down on the AVP game. Dan?
I feel bad about this.
Uh-huh.
It's a thumbs down. I feel bad, but sometimes a good idea is not well executed. And
Reed Pretty
is one of those.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm going, if you put an age limit on it, if you say like 2 to 4 years old, I think it's a pretty cool game to get them to start thinking about, you know, the actions of volleyball, how the rules work, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
But for a 32-year-old, I'm going thumbs down.
Oh, see, if I give my phone to my 6-year-old, it may end up in the toilet. So
it's got 3D and it moves around, and it's just like that's a bell and a whistle and nothing else.
Can I go abstention? Can I go Redondo Beach City Council style? Can I just go sideways?
No.
All right. No, I'm gonna have to because I can't even play it. So how am I gonna vote? No, I have to go thumbs down on it. And I agree with the 3D graphics have infinite possibilities. It just seems like it's not quite there. I would like to have seen swipe motions incorporated. I don't know how technically hard it is to do, but that seems to make sense to me for volleyball, is that you would have a swipe motion or hold your finger on it and move it to bump, you know, to pass, and then to set, and then spike or something. You'd hit one direction or swipe one direction on the screen.
Yeah.
The buttons were challenging.
The cool iPhone games for me are you just do one thing and it just gets harder. You know, it's not like
shooting penguins across the screen and trying to bounce them somewhere.
Yeah, Duck Hunt or something. Airline Conqueror USA is awesome.
Okay.
It's like connect the dots.
I like Super Breakout. It's old school where you got to knock all those out. Ski Free. I've got that on here. I've got a million games. P-Monkey. You ever play P-Monkey?
No.
My kids think that's hilarious.
If you guys have got any good iPhone games,
email Rush us. Is a good one.
Email us or post on the chat board. What's our email?
Doodle Jump.
The Net Live.
Rap,
the Net Live.
thenetlive@gmail.com. If you download the AVP game after this review, good for you. Send us your own review.
Yeah, I want to hear. I want to see where I want to get some reviews from other people.
Anyone who has it needs to send us a review.
I was on the phone with Billy last night, and his roommate is our buddy Kevin. And this is before Billy tried the game. And I was like, Kev, how do you like the game? He's like, no. I could hear him in the background telling me not to waste my $4. But I did. I had to.
Hey, you're a member of the show. Appreciate you taking one for the team. Hey, I've got a moment here. Reed, I'm glad you're here to hear this because you'll enjoy this. This is fun. We received a letter from Tomo. We mentioned Tomo on the show a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, Dan? I got the wrong Tomo.
Wait. Here's what Tomo had to say.
Tomo Taguchi.
Here's what Tomo had to say. This is the opening paragraph of his email to us. First, if Dan was serious when he said 2 weeks ago that I was a good beach player and a libero on the Japanese national team, a disclaimer. I am and was neither. We Japanese look and our names sound alike. It's easy for Dan to get us all mixed up.
Tomo Takagawa is who I meant.
Okay.
You know what?
This is Tomo Taguchi.
I know him too.
Yes,
and his son. They came to San Diego last year, and I met them. And
Uh-huh.
They're awesome.
Do you want to issue a formal apology to any Tomos have offended?
I actually have an email. I went back and I checked my email after this because I was like, wait a minute. And so I have an email to respond to because he sent me some photos and
uh-huh.
I need to put them up on our website because they're great because he and his son are wearing bandanas. I can't remember.
Bandinis?
Bandanas. And I got a reply to him, and I was going to apologize to him before this, but this just reminded me. So, Tomo, I apologize. I was thinking of Tomo Takagawa, who plays beach.
Who looks remarkably just like...
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with it, but...
Oh, I love it. I love it, Dan. Well, Tomo had some interesting questionable calls, and we will incorporate those into the show.
Cool.
Let's go to questionable calls right now. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Reed Pretty, we know you may not have a questionable call because it might be, do I give the iPad to my wife or not?
My questionable call is, should I play this game or not?
The no. AVP game?
No, the questionable call game.
Oh.
I got to get running, though. But it was great connecting with you guys.
We'll let you go.
All right, Reader.
We wish Lindsay the best.
I appreciate that. You guys have fun, and hopefully we'll be in studio next week.
Yeah,
we're hoping that the NBA Finals are over this week, and that way Keeter will be here.
Yeah, I caught him on Saturday, and I know he's missing us. So
he's a busy man.
Not forgetting the little people. That's what's good.
Yeah, he's so important, but he still remembers us. That's good. I walked up. He's like, oh, hey, Kevin, right? All right. See you, Reader.
All right. See you guys.
All right, Reed Pretty.
Did I mention that there's a 10-foot line in the AVP?
You did.
Okay.
You did. Should they put a 10-foot line on the beach?
No.
All right. My first questionable call is blue or yellow?
Blue.
Referring to the AVP colors. Used to be yellow and black, now blue and white. Which is better?
Blue. And that's because I've been telling AVP, specifically Al Lau, for probably 2 years that yellow is the worst move
so finally
AVP
they listen
has
to
ever
you.
Made.
I kind of like the yellow. Why go against the yellow? Yellow and black?
No,
like
well, there shouldn't be a color. That's the whole thing. There should not be a blue.
There has to
even.
Be a corporate identity.
No. You incorporate the sponsors. Use whatever colors they got. Just
that's what Nivea is. Nivea
everywhere.
Is blue.
Yeah, but like everything is blue. Every single thing. And it's co-branded with AVP. It looks stupid.
It would look really good in Greece. It would be very perfect.
It doesn't look stupid. It looks way better than the yellow.
No, it looks good. I think blue. I told Jason O'Dell.
It looks corporate.
He looks nice in blue.
It looks corporate.
Yeah, he looks handsome.
All right, whatever.
All right, so blue it is.
Blue looks nice. Is that the right move, though? That's what I'm saying. No,
I don't know.
It's not.
All right, Dan, question number one.
All right. I don't know. I don't even know what my questions are.
You have it right in front of you.
Who's going to be a better team, Mayor Prosser or Nygaard Olsen?
God, that's a tough question.
It is,
That's
man.
A really, really tough question, and I'm not sure where to go here.
And I think Mayor's listening right now, too.
Well, I think the question comes down to, is Nygaard done? Is Nygaard finished, or does he have something left in the tank to come back and win another tournament? I mean, won a tournament what, last year?
Yeah.
So you have to believe that he does. And John Mayer and Prosser, can Prosser, you know, get beyond that third? Obviously, a fifth with Zemet, you have to believe that Mayer is better. I'm going to say Mayer and Prosser. That's my call. Mayer Prosser is the better of the two teams. And I'm not sure why, other than I really believe in Pepperdine guys.
If I could push, I would, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go Nygaard Olsen because I think I've watched Nygaard play.
Okay.
He sets money. That's a great setting team. I think offensively they'll be really solid. Matty O plays great defense. I saw a little bit of trouble with Mayer transitioning balls after digs. And the thing with Nygaard was it wasn't any patches of playing bad. It was just every once in a while he just hit a ball out of bounds or he just give up a point, and it wouldn't be a streak of a bad streak or anything.
Yeah.
It would just be here and there, just a spot he just missed, you know? So he might be able to clear that up. You know, it's early in the season still. So I'll go Nygaard Olsen, but I think it's really close. I don't know. One of two will get into the top 10 this year. The other one won't, which is unfortunate because they all deserve to be there.
All right, question number two for me. Next most unstoppable guy on tour after Phil.
Most unstoppable?
Because Phil is absolutely unstoppable. Yeah. We talked about it, and you said, yeah, the volleyball, you're not impressed. I am totally impressed.
You know,
even when Phil hits just a high line shot, because the high line is a foot and a half over the block.
Yeah.
And straight down in the court about 4 feet from the end line. It's unbelievable to watch that man hit at the net. And the blocking is pretty good too, but the hitting is astonishing. The angles he hits and what he does. When he is on, yeah, he may as well double block.
You're not even talking about his serve.
No, his serve is extra gnarly. Here's the thing I found interesting about his serve. He throws with his left hand.
Yeah.
He's goofy foot and he hits with his right.
I don't know how you
do that.
There's
a whole bunch of wacky stuff going on there and it all works.
Have you ever tried that? Opposite
hand? I couldn't.
Opposite hand toss? I don't know how he does it.
I couldn't do the opposite. I could probably make the opposite hand toss work. I couldn't make the goofy foot approach work. So who's next to him? Unstoppable. Offensively?
Casey Patterson is getting there.
Yeah?
I mean...
It's getting pretty gnarly, huh?
He's got... You know, I didn't think Patterson Wong would be that good. But I watched them on Friday, and they've just beat the crap out of Billy Allen and Brady Halverson, and there was nothing Billy and Brady could do. They both pass well, and you put the ball near the net for Casey, and he's just going to crush it. He just got offense, man.
See, I think if you're going to talk about this, it's Sean Rosenthal. It's inconsistent, but when things are right, in a perfect situation, Rosenthal will bomb a ball. The guy's all quick twitch. He just turns, boop, 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 up, crushes the ball straight down. It's fun to watch somebody bounce balls on the beach. I enjoy that. As an indoor player, a cut shot, well-placed cut shot, I can appreciate and, you know, give a little golf clap for. But if I'm going to watch the game, I want to see somebody annihilate the ball. And Rosenthal, not afraid to get on top of it and crush the ball straight down. Dan, man, you got any more questionable calls? You got any thoughts?
Yeah.
You got anything on the chat board? 347-677-1525. If you have a questionable call, give us a call right now.
Call it up. Should Misty and other women be allowed to wear shirts in the finals like Misty did?
What's wrong with them wearing shirts?
Well, the AVP has a uniform thing where you have to wear the same bikini or the same shorts as your partner. And on center court, they want the most sex appeal as possible. I mean, I'm not sure.
If you're Misty, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
First of all.
But they frown on people wearing shirts. Like Hans Stolfus, when he played on stadium court, he would always wear his tank top. And, you know, it might have been an issue early on. And, you know, Brad Keenan probably should keep his shirt on, but he takes it off sometimes. Sorry, Brad. No, whoa. Should they be allowed?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think you're missing some sponsor opportunities. I think if you have the shirt, you can put more sponsors on yourself.
Yeah, but you can't wear
in a bold manner.
The tattoos on your arms don't show.
Yeah, it just doesn't show up. It's not maybe on the strat cam. If you put it on your wrist.
Yeah.
On the
well,
back
Misty
of your
had
wrist
on her thigh, a Gatorade logo on her thigh.
Yeah, you got to put it somewhere. But I think it's okay. I think it's a way to see some diversity in what people are wearing.
Yeah, it's the same thing with blue all over the place. I don't like the idea of uniforms for players.
Needs to be more of a free flow.
Yeah.
I think the most is playing comfortably.
Let them do what the heck they want.
If we have tight uniforms on, I don't feel comfortable playing. And the whole time I'm just kind of like worried about that.
So you're going to play in baggy sweats?
Yeah, I mean,
really?
You got to play in something that's not tight on you if that's not what you like.
Oh, see, I disagree. You got to play in something tight.
Mm-mm.
And that's for me. Like, I want a tight jersey versus a loose jersey.
Well,
a loose jersey is just flying all over the place. I don't know. You guys grew up playing in buns and stuff, hot pants. I mean, there's nothing. If you watch 13-year-old, 14-year-old girls club, there's nobody wearing, like, T-shirts, hardly, in the whole thing. You know, jerseys and stuff. But everything's tighter, tighter, tighter. I think from an athletic performance standpoint, personally, I like tighter clothes versus looser clothes. All right, we have a caller. Skype. Somebody's using Skype. 111. You're on the air. What's your name?
This is Marco. How are you doing?
Marco, welcome to the Net Live. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem. You know, I just chatted on board that I've been in marketing for 20 years, and I worked for a paint company, and I worked in children's consumer products as well, and color is a big scheme, and you know, I went up on the pier to see how the look. You know, I walked all the way down halfway to look back from the ocean.
Yep.
And I thought the blue looked great. I thought it looked awesome. I like blue. It's a very friendly color. No issues with everybody wearing blue, although I think I would have put the referees in a lighter blue with a darker blue pair of shorts is what I would have done versus putting them in the dark blue with the black shorts. That didn't look very matching to me. But this is me speaking from my marketing mind. And as far as everything else they're doing, I mean, they broke a record with the number of tents that they had in the sponsors row. And I thought
yeah.
that was pretty nice. And I think as far as, like, talking about the action, I think, honestly, right now, I don't think there's any other guys team besides Todd and Phil that's going to play at the same level. The beauty of Smith and Stoklos and Javi Dodd was both teams won. You didn't know who was going to win in the final that day. And then, you know, with Karch and Kent, they were the same thing like Todd and Phil. They just dominated. Nobody could beat them. There was nobody. There might be somebody who would come and play them outside of maybe Sean and John, you know, who had a great year against them last year. I mean, yesterday they just kind of fell apart in the end of that third game. And, you know, I don't see that. But, you know, yesterday I watched Jen and April play a couple of times. And, man, those girls can serve. I'd almost say they're equivalent to the way Phil serves on the women's tour. And at the end of that third game, they went on a 7-1 run against Misty and Nicole. And that was amazing. And you know what? Misty looked tired. Her left arm was not even – she was hanging that thing. When you watched her serve, because I sat on the south side of the court, on the court side, and her arm was just hanging when she was going up to serve or hit. And so I think she was done. She was done in that third game.
Well, Marco, thanks for chiming in. We sure appreciate your thoughts. You bring up some good points. All right, that was Marco giving us a call. I think Marco had some great things to say there. One of the things that I had written down here is just like him, Jen and April, their serving is awesome.
They're just bombing.
I think they rely on it
style.
A little bit much. I think it covers up some of the other things that they're not doing as well as some of the other players at times. But I think their serving is awesome to see, and I love their aggressive nature.
April's bad side serving to end the match yesterday. What's the bad side? Well, yeah, they just got Nicole on four straight points. One was like a husband-wife, but Nicole just gave up on the play. And yeah, Misty may have been tired.
Way to overwhelm people.
Misty may have been tired, but Misty may have been tired. Misty may have been tired. But Nicole made the errors at the end, and that was pretty unfortunate. And second game, same thing.
I thought it was interesting that Misty was split blocking about half the time with Nicole, that she's up there at the net and doing a decent job. I think it's
Misty's
interesting
just
to see
wily,
after she played,
you know,
back row so much when she was with Kerry.
Yeah, well, Nicole made plays in the backcourt.
She did.
So
she
did
certainly
Jen
did.
In April in game two and three. They just made so many digs. They played so well.
I love their aggression and fire. They're not afraid to take a swing or yell at the referee about a call. I love that interplay with the ref. All right, I'm going to get down and take a look at the ball mark, and then we're going to come back here, and it's going to be out.
Yeah, great.
Nice job, dude.
We talk a lot about, you know, we don't have Hovland and Dodd. We don't have Smith Stoklos anymore, but Jen and April.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Like, they're kind of fire, you know? And even their post-game interview was pretty cool. Kind of weird saying, someone little fire under my butt. Twice. It was weird. But it was funny. And then they kind of talked about the difference between AVP and FIVB, and one of the big things was they don't play so many matches in a row in the same day on FIVB as they do AVP. So they're more rested.
The FIVB tends to run a longer, more drawn-out, quiet tournament. I mean, you look at the way the Olympic tournament is run, they play once every other day or something like that, or once a day. It's really slow compared to an AVP tournament.
Yeah,
I thought the color, too, we've touched on the color a lot. This is the first chance I've had really to get a good look at it. And I'm with Marco. I think the blue looks good. It looks corporate to me. It looks polished. It's a nice shade of blue. It makes me feel good about the product. And sponsor row was hopping. It was
my point about the blue, real quick, is I don't care that it's blue, but that's all you're saying. You're saying, oh, it's good blue. It's not blue. It's Nivea. So just make it look like Nivea instead of just blue. And all the other sponsors, like Rockstar, does a good job. Rockstar does a great branding job. Rockstar, you're not saying, oh, it's black. You don't even know what Rockstar's colors are. You know, there's a star and it says Rockstar and it looks pretty cool. Now, I've said things about Rockstar in the past that don't align with that viewpoint. But at an AVP tournament, their tents and stuff like that, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
And you're not saying, oh, that's a good color. You know, that's the problem. You're saying, oh, that's a good color. Who cares about the color? Brand it properly. There's too many AVP Rocketeer logos everywhere, by the way.
I think that helps the branding.
Okay.
That helps the branding, I think.
I don't.
Having a nice color.
I definitely don't.
All right.
Yeah, of course,
I have a nice color. But I have a questionable call. Is the more losses by Phil and Todd, is that good or bad for the sport if they were to lose more? Hello?
What? I was reading this chat board. What happened?
If they lose more. If Phil and Todd lose more often, and there's a definite rivalry there, they're not quite as dominant, is that good or bad for the tour?
That's good.
That's good.
Well, I'd rather see that because I'd watch. I would have gone on Sunday if I thought there was any chance that someone other than Phil and Todd would win.
Okay.
But I didn't go down. I was like, eh. It also helped me not going down that there was only two matches.
Okay.
Like I show up at 10 and then I got to wait, you know.
I think it would be good. I think it would be good for them to lose more. I thought what Sean and John did last year where they challenged them quite a bit and you didn't know going into finals, it was a question, are they going to take them out again? It's good. And I'd like to see at least one more team join that fray, if not two. And I think we need that. You need just four or five strong teams at the top to really give it a run every weekend so people don't know. One of the things that's made the NFL great is that every year you don't know who's going to be great. Some teams fall down after being good for 1 year. Some teams are good for 4 or 5 years. But some team will go from being mediocre to horrible right back to the top. I think all that is really good. And, Dan, I'm glad to see you looking at Hangtown over there.
Hangtown.
Lucas Oil Hangtown National on Rockstar.com, wherever you just were.
Rockstar's website.
Were you at Rockstar's website? Look what's on the front of that.
Yeah, I wasn't even looking.
That was motocross right there, baby.
Well, good for you. It was a strike force.
But I think it's important to have that, that you show up at an event and you're not sure what's going to happen. That's intriguing. It's also important to know who the teams are.
Someone on the chat board just tried to prove me wrong or something.
Oh, yeah? What'd they say? Are they wrong?
Rockstar is yellow and black. Oh, it was Marco. That's the guy I just called in.
It is yellow and black with some red.
There's red, like, whatever. They're black, you know? There's not Rockstar stuff that's just red. It's black and red. And
there's
then yellow.
There's all kind of Rockstar stuff.
It's all about the stars. Whatever.
It's all about the stars.
That kind of proves my point.
All right,
we've burned it. Anyway.
I want to touch on, before we go, the U.S. Open. The USAV Open just concluded in Phoenix, and no Paul Mitchell this year. Paul Mitchell's a team that was composed of Geeter and a bunch of guys from his era, Coley Kiman and Mark Presho. Eric Sullivan played on that team for a number of years. Tom Hoff has spent time on that team. Alan Knipe used to be on that team, the head coach at the national team now. Paul Mitchell, having gone by the wayside, was not there any longer. Bummer for them.
I'm so bummed.
But Second City Premier, don't even know what that means. Bunch of Pepperdine boys, J.D. Schleppenbach, Corey Ricks, playing on that team, took down the Open Championship. Well done, boys.
Congrats.
Way to go.
That's like talking about a CBVA, isn't it?
Kind of. But it's a one-time event every year, and it has featured some great players. And on the women's side, there was an A2 blue and an A2 red. So you had national team prospects, younger national team prospects, playing in that Adult Open National. So obviously there's some value there for these younger players, and it's drawing the volleyball community to a point where there is competition for these younger players, because the Exterminators, a privateer team, not of the national team, came in second.
The Exterminators?
The Exterminators.
Oh, my gosh.
They went second place, but
who lost to A2
Blue in the finals. I'd have to go back and look it up, basically, knowing that I know.
So this is just the national annual big indoor club tournament, right?
All comers.
For anybody.
We've had countries field teams. As a matter of fact, when I played in it in 1998, we played as T-Town for Tulsa, because we had Chip McCaw and his mom on the team. His mom was listed as our coach. And so we had Chip McCaw.
Was she there?
Yeah. Chip McCaw, Loy Ball, myself, Greg Romano, Chris Harger, and several other national team guys, current national team members at the time, who went down and played in this tournament.
See, this is like us talking about six men all the time, but nobody cares about this, right?
Only, if you're in the volleyball community.
Only the guys that play, right?
6,000 people go to play in this. Almost 600 teams. Over 500 teams through all the age groups go and play in this event.
Yeah, 10%.
People do care about this.
Yeah, I know.
This is a huge event for the volleyball community. This used to be the only real national championship you could win in lieu of
a pro tour
of any kind, you know, when there was no pro beach tour. This was the thing, is you'd go and you'd play in this event, and that was the big thing every year, is to see if you could. It was an honest-to-goodness national championship for the sport. And we've had national teams come and play in it. Canada has brought a national team. Egypt brought their entire national team a number of years ago. Yeah.
Why doesn't Egypt bring their team for six-man?
They should.
That'd be so awesome.
They should.
We'd beat them down.
Egypt was not good, dude. They were spitting on people. It was
Could our six-man team beat Canada?
Yeah, Canadian six-man team?
Yeah, the Canadian national.
Yeah, because if it came down to the championship, the Canadians would fold, bottom line. That's what's happened every time in the zone. Every time the United States needs a win in the zone to go to the Olympics or to go to some world championship, they've thundered Canada every single time. That's why Canada hasn't been in the Olympics since 1996, when the United States didn't have to qualify.
All right.
Way to go, Canada. Oh, Canada. Now we'll start getting hate mail.
Who won the win?
Laced with maple flags. The A2 team took it down. A2 blue took down the win. Exterminators second. A2 red took down the bronze.
Exterminators.
What are the rules on getting into this? Can you be a
team?
Like, what are the A2?
No, anybody.
Did the winning line for
the age groups
hours?
Are up and above. So there's open, and BJ will, I'm sure, on the chat board clarify this if I'm wrong. It's open, then there's a double A, an A, a double B, and a B. It's on the website. That I was looking at earlier today with all that. And then it goes down through ages, too. There's like a 35-0, 45-0, 55-0, 60-0. You can check it on usavolleyball.org. They have it there, the breakdown of what all the results were, who won, and so on. But it's a huge, huge event and a lot of fun. It goes on for a couple of weeks because teams are staggered. The tournament is staggered just because of the court space and the hotel space.
Gotcha.
Billy wants everyone to know that his brother won MVP in double B, whatever division, maybe A, I don't know.
Nice. Embarrassingly, my brother went and played, I think it was men's A, and they finished seventh. I'm like, if you can't even beat, you know, men's A competition, come on, Keith Barnett, pick it up.
Oh, your brother's such a Barney.
True that.
Hey.
True that. Yes.
Hey,
yeah.
You don't know this, but kind of good. We just made a new video. Brady and Mayer went to USYVL last week.
Nice.
And they taught the kids how to play volleyball and gave them some inspiration.
USYVL, one of our sponsors here, one of our proud sponsors of the Net Live. Where was it?
Culver City.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, and it's on kindagood.com. You should check it out.
Nice. I like it.
But I deleted
it. We're about to get all stupid up in here!
Great, great lead-in, because I was just about to say, I deleted some of Brady's comments that he said in the video, but there's a couple that are still in there that are just dynamite.
Yeah.
It's about to get
something like that.
Mayor saying you got to get all your hands on the ball when you're setting.
All of your hands?
All of your hands. Brady's, some of the stuff is just priceless. He just took over the day. He's a high school teacher and just introduced himself and just took over, just explained everything and just like he was teaching the class.
He has experience with the animals.
Yeah.
It's knowing the landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to play one of my other favorite office quotes.
Oh.
This is one of my favorites.
It's like eating a hot circle of garbage.
It's good. Kevin from The Office. Funny stuff. I love it. But it killed the whole five there. Damn.
Where
can we go with the video? Where's the video?
Kindagood.com.
I like it. Yes, Alex.
The women's roster has just been released.
Women's roster going to Montreux. They left today. I had an opportunity to talk to Heather Bound and Logan Tom both down at the tournament. They were wandering around because they are not headed to Montreux. They will be headed later.
What?
They're doing a split squad. Yeah, they'll be headed later from this tournament. I think they're gone for about a month. Give us who's going right now, Alex.
All
right,
we have Ogana Namani.
Ogana Namani.
Kristen okay. Richards. Krista Harmato. Angie okay. Pressy. Tamari Mashiro. Nicole Davis. Jill Callmore. Cynthia Barbosa. Jennifer Thomas. Alexis Crimes.
Crimes, yep. Middle.
Nicole Fawcett. Courtney Thompson. Mary Spicer. And Megan Hodge.
Oh, Megan
Wait,
Hodge.
What's Spicer's first name? What?
Mary, Nelly, in quotation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, what?
So Hodge makes the tournament, or makes the roster.
For show.
Interesting.
One that I'm surprised didn't make it was Feluca.
Yeah, Feluca Akinrotowo. You didn't want to attempt that last.
No. I've asked you
Out of Stanford. Yeah.
Alexis Crimes.
Alexis Crimes, playing middle.
What a name.
She had a good year last year. 6'3". She's a nice middle. Angie Pressy. I like her. I like the way she plays the game.
I like her.
Oh, man. I love the way she plays the game.
We got Barbosa on there. We interviewed her last summer.
Yep, Cynthia. She's coming off a Japanese V-League title and Asian championship also.
And Reed asked her what her ideal date would be or something like that.
Yeah, we did. We asked her that.
Jill Collimore.
That was just who I was going to say.
Jane's
she is
sister.
One of my favorite. She was really good when her serve was, like, ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, I watched her at practice the other day, and I wasn't even filming her, and I just like kept looking at her serve every time. It was like she got all of that ball. It was sick.
Yeah, Jill Collimore, the sister of Jane Collimore, who we've had on the show here before and used her music.
Wait.
She's recovering from hip surgery.
Wait.
What?
Where's Karch's name as assistant coach?
No, they fired him. You didn't hear?
Did they really?
We're going to cover it next week. No, they don't fire Karch.
No,
what do you
mean? No, what happened?
What? He should be on there.
His name isn't on here, actually.
Wow.
Is this news or is this a...
Jamie Morrison and Paul Wisoff.
Paula Wisoff.
Wisoff.
Now, all right, Alex, a little history of volleyball. Paula Wisoff, do you know who that is?
No.
Do you have any inkling of who that is?
I have no idea who that is.
All right, next time you go to the gym, Paula should put you in a headlock. Paula Wisoff is perhaps the best women's player the United States has ever produced. Played in Italy for a number of years.
Wait, that's a girl? Paul?
Paula. It's missing
There's no
an
A.
A
on there.
Paul.
That's a BJ typo on the website.
That's what confused
Paul
me.
Weisshoff.
Oh, now
not
she
working.
Knows.
Now
it.
I know.
Oh wow, they have a head coach, assistant coaches, trainers, tech coordinator, and then team leader.
You have to have a team leader.
What is that?
The team leader is the one who goes to all the technical meetings.
Oh, that's Tom Hoff, right?
No, it's
the men's side.
Rob Browning is currently doing it for
the
men's side for World League. You have to have a team leader. Who is responsible for coordinating all the arrangements. He's kind of the head guy for transportation, for hotel arrangements, for going to the different technical meetings and the different press conference things. And, you know, it's just another guy that the FIVB requires.
It's a very silly name.
It
Team
is.
Leader.
They said that Karch is back in Anaheim training the leftovers.
Training the leftovers.
Nice way to put it.
I like that. Heather Bound, you are the leftovers. Logan Tom, also leftovers, been reduced to merely that. I love it. I absolutely love it.
That's not from the USA Volleyball's website. That's from our chat board. Okay.
They said that that's why he's not on there, because he's not a part of the team. He's not going with them.
He's not a part of the team now?
He's not traveling.
Alex, what kind of information do you have going here?
BJ Evans.
I'm going to have Paula Wisoff introduce herself to you next time.
Don't tell her I don't know
Seriously,
who she is.
Seriously, she could play tomorrow. She's an amazing
Wait, I
shape.
Think I know. I've seen her then because she's one of the girl coaches, but I still don't know who she is.
Yeah, she's the one flexing over there while she's hitting balls, flexing in between.
Is she, like, huge?
No, she's just ripped.
Yeah.
She's just ripped. So Megan Hodge, I'm interested to see how she does internationally. The little bit of videotape and a little bit of practice that I've seen.
Yeah, you did not like
I am not impressed with her work ethic thus far. Pretty slow in transition, needs a perfect set. I don't know about that. We'll see how that all
there
works out.
There was a
out.
Couple new girls that I wasn't really impressed with their work ethic.
Well, and I was unimpressed in the finals. I mean, it was this big build-up between Hodge and Hooker. And
Hooker was way better.
Hooker was unbelievable,
way
and
better.
Hodge was very mediocre. Very mediocre
is
through most
so
of it.
So slow.
Yeah, she's definitely looking slow, and that will not serve her well in the international game. That game speeds up to a level that college players have no idea. And I really hope that these Penn State players aren't riding high off their success in college. Really, nice job, ladies. Time to move on. It is time to come to the international game where it's a whole different ball game, bottom line. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Dan, if you have anything else interesting to say, we can hear that, but probably otherwise, it's over.
I never really do.
Do you have any more rants? Do you have any more complaints?
No, I'm good.
Nothing.
I'm sure I will if you give me more time, but you know, I'll save it for next week.
All right. We didn't talk about stay and play this week, Dan. You feel good about
yay.
That?
Yay! I feel great.
You feel good about that?
Do you want me to rant?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it has been another easy Hosek. Look at this, Hosek. Hold on. He's whoa, Barney, easy on the Penn State girls. Jay Hosek. I'm sorry, Jay Hosek. Hosek. Jay Hosek, but it's spelled Hosek. He didn't even call in today to talk about that, the correct pronunciation of his game or his name.
What is this long thing we have here?
I don't know. Hey, people on the chat board, thanks for being there. We appreciate you keeping up your own little discussion. It's excellent stuff. And we appreciate you getting out there, letting people know about the Net Live. It is available for free on iTunes. That's the right price, right? Free, $0. That's all it costs. It's been another fun program. We'll see you again next week right here on the volleyballnetwork.com. Check out our video coming up. Casey Patterson, going to be a good one. See you soon.